First of all, if you have not read your bulletin and you don't know why the kids are still with us, this is a plug for you to read your bulletin. Today's a family service and you're beginning a taste of what we do upstairs and downstairs all together. We will not be having a craft center or a games time, so we're just going to have the Bible story time now. And we'll actually end our service a little earlier, and you can do the crafts and games on your own time afterwards. So, secondly, the story that you just heard is a composite of the feeding of the 5,000 from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in this great little Bible called the Jesus Storybook Bible. And this is what they're using in the basement for their story time every week. So, parents of young kids, if you're looking for a good children's Bible storybook, I'd recommend this one. You can take a look at this if you'd like to later. Now, I'm calling this Feeding of the 5,000 the Jesus Potluck. How many of you were here last week when we had a potluck lunch? Hands up. Hey, lots of you here last week when we had a potluck lunch. Now, kids, this is where we every now and then do this audience participation. Kids, hands up if you were here and you liked the potluck lunch last week. See, quite a few hands. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands if you didn't like the potluck lunch. But I heard that some of you did not like our potluck lunch last week as much as previous potluck lunches. And that's because there are certain elements for every potluck that must be present if you're going to have a good potluck. There are three things when it comes to food that you must have. Now, this, grown-ups, is for you too, because if we have a potluck next, we need to check these off the list because the kids made it known that they were not all present last week. At least some of the kids did. What's the, well, who wants to volunteer an answer? What do you need to have a good potluck?
Food.
Yes. What kind of food?
Dessert.
Dessert. Was that the complaint last week? We didn't have enough kinds of dessert. We only had cake. I had some kids a little disappointed that we didn't have enough kinds of food. You need not just food, you need lots of kinds. And by kinds of food, you mean lots of kinds of dessert, right? And chips, as well as the main course, the salads, the veggies. You have to have that stuff too. What else do you have to have? Liam. Okay, so you need lots of variety, but no rocks. I don't think he's referring to anybody's cookies. I'm not sure. Anything else that you need to have? Yes? Meat? An appetite, yeah. Okay, yes? You need people. We're going to get to that. That's brilliant. Okay, so you need, nobody said this, but you need lots of food. A potluck is a disaster when you run out of food, right? Yes. You need lots of kinds of food. And kind of what was being referenced earlier is you need good tasting food. Like if all you have is every kind of vegetable, kids, are you happy with that potluck? No. You need some cake and some cookies and, you know, some good sandwiches and some good hot meals and things like that. So you need good food, enough food, lots of food, and a variety of food. Now, people, what would have happened last week if we would have had lots of food, lots of good food, a variety of food. We brought it, we put it in the kitchen, and after the service, we said, okay, we're now going to have a potluck lunch, and all of you would have just sat there waiting for the food to be served. Would that have worked? No. Because at a potluck, everybody has to pitch in and help. And so last week, we did this, right? We had some people who were taking down chairs, and some people who were setting up tables, and some people who were heading into the kitchen and getting the food and bringing it out, and some people who afterwards were putting everything back the way it was before. Potlucks require people who help and who serve. Because potlucks are not like restaurants. When you come to a potluck, if you think it's a restaurant, you'll be disappointed. And so we say around here that church is like a potluck. And we say that our worship services are like a potluck. They only work when we all bring something and when we all pitch in and help. And we've seen that already this morning. We've had some great example of the kids pitching in and helping. And every Sunday that we have a worship service like this, there are all kinds of people who who are pitching in and helping in all kinds of ways. Well, Jesus takes that idea in this Jesus potluck story, and he takes it even farther. Not just church, not just worship services. I think he talks about all of life as a Jesus follower as being kind of like a potluck. But I'll get to that in a little bit. I want to talk about the two miracles that happened during the feeding of the 5,000, the Jesus potluck. There's two miracles. What's one big miracle? See, who hasn't answered back there? I think you both have answered before. You've answered. Ava, you've answered. David, what was one of the miracles? Yeah, the amount. There was a great amount of food. Just 5 loaves, which are really like little buns, and 2 little fish, fed 5,000 men and all the women and all the kids, so way over 10,000 people. That was a pretty significant miracle. And everybody ate as much as they wanted, and there were leftovers. But there was another miracle, I think, that we don't necessarily think about. Now, let's go back to what it takes to have a good potluck. Only one of the things that you said that you need to have a good potluck is lots of food. But how about a variety of food? Was the Jesus potluck, did they have a variety of food? No. All they had was bread and fish. So I want you to bring that forward to our day. That would be like having a potluck where the only thing served was tuna fish sandwiches. How many of you love tuna fish sandwiches? Okay, you might be pretty happy. How many of you do not like tuna fish sandwiches? Okay, now, on these tuna fish sandwiches, there's not even a variety of bread. There's just one kind of bread, and the kind of bread that this little boy had, they talk about being barley loaves in some translations. It's not the best quality of bread. And there's no lettuce and tomatoes and anything to make this tuna fish sandwich taste any better. It's just tuna and it's just bread. That's it. Even those of you who love tuna fish sandwiches, how many of you would love to come up to a potluck with only that? Okay, so the Benders and the Cadus would be happy. Excellent. Good. Now, there's not a variety of food, and I would say it's not very good food. You would think that would be a terrible potluck. However, in Matthew 14:20, it says this: they all ate. So even those who are allergic to bread or fish, they all ate. Miraculously, they didn't get sick, but that's another miracle. And they were satisfied. In other words, they didn't complain. They weren't hungry. It seemed that the miracle of miracles, everybody loved the tuna fish potluck. That's a miracle. Not just lots of food, but it was good food. Jesus is pretty powerful. It's pretty amazing. Now, downstairs, the kids have been hearing stories about God from the Old Testament. So the first story that they heard was about how God created the world. And a little later, they learned some stories about Moses, including how God gave the people of Israel the Ten Commandments. And last week, they heard the story about how God gave Israel some rules for sacrifice and worship. So those images on the screen, if you go downstairs, you'll see on the big bulletin board, just opposite the bathrooms in the hall when you first go downstairs, all these little pictures. And that's the storyline that they're learning downstairs. So these are just 3 stories that I picked. Now, upstairs, we've been doing kind of the same thing. Except that we've been learning stories about Jesus from the New Testament book of Matthew. And interestingly, over and over and over again, we've been learning upstairs that the stories of Jesus and Matthew are connected to the stories of God in the Old Testament. So we've learned about how Jesus has power over nature, just like God had power over creation when he created the world. Jesus calmed the storm, he walked on water, he healed diseases, and over again, we're hearing how Jesus had power that no human being could possibly have. He had power that only God could have, just like in the Old Testament stories of God. And we've heard stories about how Jesus was kind of the new Moses. Just like Moses went up on the mountain and came down with the Ten Commandments to teach the people of Israel how they should live, Jesus went up on the mountain, the Sermon on the Mount, and he gave the Sermon on the Mount where he told people how we're to live in the kingdom of God. And we've also heard some stories about Jesus had some arguments, some conflict with the teachers of the law about the Sabbath and how to keep it. And Jesus said that he's the Lord of the Sabbath, and he taught with the authority of God in terms of saying this is what the Sabbath is about, which is kind of similar to talking about worship and sacrifice in the Old Testament. So in downstairs, every lesson that you hear, there's always a big question. Well, we kind of have two big questions that we ask every week. Actually, every time I preach, every time I study a scripture or a story, I ask these two questions. And the first question is, what does this story teach me about God or about Jesus? Well, that's pretty easy. When you look at the stories downstairs, they tell you that God is great and God is good. So you can thank him for your food if you like, if you know that prayer. God is great and God is good. Comes up all the time in the Old Testament stories about God's creation and his creativity and the way he cared for the people of Israel and he rescued them from Egypt and he gave them his commandments and his rules about worship and so on so they could have a right relationship with him. God is great and God is good. Well, upstairs, Jesus is great. That comes up again and again. He can walk on water, heal diseases, all of these things. He can make a small, boring meal into an amazing potluck that everybody loves. But Jesus is also good. Comes up all the time in these stories. And it comes up really strongly in this story of the Jesus potluck. Because the context of this story is that just before the story here, Jesus finds out that his cousin John the Baptist has been killed by the king Herod. And he's sad. And he's tired. And he wants to be alone. If you've ever been really sad and tired because somebody you love has passed away or is sick or something, and you just want to be alone, maybe with a few friends or with your parents. And so Jesus went off to a place where he could be alone. He went off to a solitary place. And when he got there, over 10,000 people had followed him. He didn't really want to see them. But it says Jesus had compassion on them. And he healed their sick. And he fed them this amazing potluck. Jesus is really, really good. But the second question that I always ask is, what does this story teach me about what I or what we are supposed to do? And that's the most important part of the story for us. We already know in Matthew that Jesus is great and good. That's come up again and again and again. So why another story about that? And why this story? It shows up in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's obviously a really important story. It's not just a cute story. It's an important story. Now, adults, remember what we said about Matthew. It's not just a storybook about Jesus to tell us what Jesus was like. It's actually a manual for disciples of Jesus. Matthew was written so that Christ followers would know what to do. So there's got to be an application in here. What are we supposed to do? That's what Matthew's all about. So downstairs, every lesson has a key verse. Here's the key verse for Matthew, for this story. It's not even a whole verse. It's just the second half of verse 16. You give them something to eat. That's the key verse. In this story, you give them something to eat. Let me read a little bit more, starting in verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." So kids, imagine that all kinds of people show up at your house. The house is full, and for whatever reason, there's no food. And you say to your parents, it's supper time. Maybe you should send these kids home because we don't have any food. And your parents say to you, they don't have to go away. You feed them. What would you say to your parents? Would it be nice and polite? Like, mommy, that's impossible. We can't do that. Or would you say something a little less polite like, you're crazy, right? What happens in this story? Jesus takes the only thing the disciples can bring, which, by the way, a little kid brought to the potluck, little five buns and two fish, and he blesses them and he breaks them and he gives them back to his disciples, who give them to all the people. And it's enough. And it's good. People are satisfied. Jesus is good. He's great. He can do the impossible. What was the disciples' part? What did the disciples do? That's the lesson for us. They obeyed Jesus. They brought what they had, even though it wasn't very much, and they served. And their willingness to serve with their little bit, plus Jesus' greatness and goodness, made it a great potluck. People were satisfied. Their needs were met. So maybe we can have a new prayer to the old one. God is great and God is good. Let us help God serve this food. And that's our job today as Jesus' followers. Every day, everywhere. Not just Sunday at potlucks. We obey Jesus even when it seems crazy. We obey Jesus and serve people even when we're tired or frustrated, or when we don't feel like we have much to give, or even when it feels like the little we have won't make a difference. We serve. We sacrifice. We offer hospitality. We're generous. And we leave the results to Jesus. What does that mean in our everyday lives? Well, this story centers around food, and food and hospitality are a big deal in the Bible. So kids, sharing your lunch with the kid who forgot to bring a lunch or couldn't bring a lunch, that means a lot to that kid. And Jesus can use that. Or maybe even just sitting with the kid at lunch at school who nobody else is sitting with. That means a lot to that kid, and Jesus can use that in some powerful ways. Or grown-ups donating to the food bank or delivering lunches for the mustard seed, which, by the way, used to be called loaves and fishes. I wonder where they got that title. Or maybe helping serve a meal to homeless people, or donating, or inviting people into your home, and even if it's just serving a simple meal, that's a big deal to Jesus. And it can be a big deal to people who you serve. And Jesus makes those simple acts of service or hospitality a bigger deal than we realize. The best example, I know I've shared it before, is my grandparents' farm, up by Pinoca. Grandma and Grandpa had just a simple little farm with poor soil. Grandpa didn't want to be a farmer, he wanted to be a carpenter, but in the Depression, there's no chance for that. He never got past grade 6 education, maybe 8, I'm not sure. They didn't feel like they were good public speakers, they didn't serve on boards, they didn't speak in church or anything like that. But they invited people over to their house and to their farm all the time. It was the one simple thing they had. And they just did it lots and lots. It was costly. It was inconvenient. I never realized how inconvenient we were to them until Edith and I started inviting people into our home. And yet, at their funerals, I just heard stories again and again and again and again about the huge impact that my grandparents had on people. That their place, their farm, was a place of refuge and hospitality and encouragement and care. And there are people all over Canada and the States who are leading and serving in their churches and communities. My grandparents' farm had a really big part of that. God used this simple little thing in a powerful way when they offered it. Whatever little thing you have, when you offer to Jesus and you serve other people with it, God can use it in ways that you'll never even maybe know or guess. So obviously it isn't just about food. We need to be generous with the little bit of money we have. Now, we might not think we have very much, but when we're generous and when we give and when we serve to help people and so on, God multiplies the effect of that. Not only does God change other people's lives when we're generous with money, he actually changes ours. That might be the biggest miracle. He makes us less selfish and frees us from the tyranny of money and all those things. Maybe the biggest challenge for us is time. Time is the thing that we often feel we have the least of and we're the most reluctant to give up, but it might be the thing that makes the biggest difference, that God uses the little bit of time that we're willing to give and to sacrifice and to serve others. And Jesus does amazing things when we just spend time with people. And it changes our lives too. When we give up time to serve people, God changes our lives too. Just like I'm pretty sure the disciples were pretty changed by that day of the Jesus potluck. Now, there are lots of hungry people out there. Hungry physically, hungry emotionally, hungry spiritually. And we individually or collectively do not have enough food or money or time or strength or wisdom to meet all of those needs. But Jesus says to us, you feed them. And so we need to bring what little we have, offer to Jesus, and then get busy sharing it with others. And Jesus is great, and Jesus is good. So let us help Jesus serve this world. Let's pray. I'll invite the worship team, music team, to come up and lead us in a little more worship before we close. Thank you, Jesus, that you are so good, that you are so great. Thank you that you invite us to be part of your mission. You invite us to go and to do what you did when you were on earth, to serve people, to help people, to love people, to spend time with people, to feed people. Lord, give us the faith and the courage and the obedience to bring the little we have to you and then to share it with others. And we pray that you would make that into a great potluck and that people would be satisfied and full from your riches. And thank you for the part we get to play in that.